Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
So there's a lot going on today, from potential Russian war to false flag pipe bombs to even now a synagogue shooting as it's being hashtagged. And a lot of it, most of it, I would say, is trying to keep your attention away from what's really going on and driving you back to the voting box, as we've been saying in regard to all of these cases, be it the caravan, the pipe bombs, and now this shooting, whether or not it may or not be a false flag or a hoax or simply just being used to continue to do this. It's important that we think critically about all of this stuff and be willing to ask that question. Is this a false flag? Is this a psyop? But also not jump to conclusions and just calling it outright without having any of the facts, which is a lot of what we're seeing on both sides. Most people still, just holding on for dear life for this two-party deception, as we call it, continuing to point to one thing but failing to address the other. Look at this false flag pipe bomb thing, but look at how they're ignoring the caravan, or vice versa. Both of which, as I'm pretty damn convinced, and I will leave it up to you to make up your own mind, are largely being used, if not completely orchestrated, to keep you looking in the wrong direction and driving you with fear right back to the voting box to basically give your consent to yet again be governed by a group of criminals. Happens more times than we can count, and people still continue to buy the lies from these people who have been disproven, debunked, and shown to be outright liars more times than I can possibly count. But let's begin before we get into the shooting today, as well as a quick rehash of the pipe bomb false flag, to what I think is one of the most important things happening today, one of, two of which we'll cover today, and possibly end with a positive note to try to keep things looking upward as we should be, recognizing that there is reasons to be happy and positive with all of the terrible things they're shoving down your throat. Sadly, which a lot of which I cover as well, because it's the truth of what's going on and things they're trying to keep your attention away from. But there is good in the world, so don't forget that. First story that I want to touch on today, truly that I think is one of the most important, something that's getting completely obfuscated, and maybe that's the entire point. Interestingly, the synergy between a synagogue being shot and currently Gaza being bombed 87 times. Israel forces launch 87 overnight airstrikes against the Gaza Strip. Very, very interesting and a big story. Something we've been seeing coming. People in the international community have been crying about, outcries about the fact that they're going to invade Gaza. This is going to happen, and people continue to ignore it. Innocent people, civilians, despite the fact that they continue to say that there's no one innocent in all of Gaza, right? It's just the illegal, false state of Zionist Israel that gets all of the attention. Nothing to do with the innocent civilians being bombed and murdered and starved to death and raped and displaced on a regular basis. Point of fact, before we get into the story, it's interesting to note that Jake from Blackstone Intelligence, Morfonios, as well as Adam Green, are currently in Gaza, as I understand it. So hopefully they're okay. However, I would be remiss if I did not point out the fact that I do find it to be a little bit suspect that they were able to just walk into Israel with all of their equipment, known to be aggressive, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, pro-BDS figures. But that in and of itself is not proof of anything. It's worthy of note, and I'd be remiss if I didn't point it out. However, I'm great fans of both of their work, and I think that they have done amazing work of calling out the false state of Israel. So I truly hope that they're okay. But I did think it was interesting, someone like Al-Qassim, the woman who was simply working with a group that was pro-BDS and is like currently still in court proceedings, as I understand it, in Israel. So it's a noteworthy point. That being said, I truly hope that they're both okay, and I think both of them do excellent work. So let's get into this story and what's really going on here. So the Israeli army carried out scores of airstrikes across the besieged Gaza Strip in the early hours of Saturday, today. Technically it was last night, but depending on where you are in reporting this story, coming from Middle East Eye from Saturday. But we actually pointed an article last night of when this actually began. Now, the highest intensity offensive apparently on the coastal Palestinian territory since this summer. The Israeli army launched at least 87 airstrikes. Some reporting 80, they're reporting 87. Israeli news outlet Ynet has reported this, saying it was in response to some 34 rockets, as they claim, fired from the enclave into southern Israel. However, as I understand it, really didn't do much damage, which is usually the point with these. Many of which in the past have simply just landed in the water and no one gets hurt. And meanwhile, they turn around and bomb civilians. because that makes sense. The claim was that these rockets were in retaliation for the Israeli army's killing of five Palestinian protesters on Friday. Interesting how that part gets left out from the mainstream. This story coming from South Front, dozens of Palestinians killed and injured during new wave of protests in Gaza Strip. This is an important aspect to remember in this entire thing. Now, the Ministry of Health in Palestine of Palestine announced that five civilians were killed and apparently 85 others were injured by the Israeli military during a new wave of protests. Not armed protests, not Hamas, as they claim, but civilians protesting their right to return to their home, to their territory that is being illegally occupied by Israel and the Gaza, and this is from the Gaza Strip on October 26th. According to Palestinian sources, the protesters were targets with sniper fire and tear gas for protesting. The new wave of protests was organized by the National Committee for the March of Return and the Breaking of the Siege, which stressed in a previous statement that the demonstrators will continue and that the Palestinian people will not give up their rights, which is something we can all understand. Why would they give up their right to protest or their right to take back what's rightfully theirs? Ismail Radin, an official in the Hamas movement, also stressed in an interview with the Lebanese Al-Madin TV that the protests will continue in the Gaza Strip until the Israeli blockade is over. Understand, a blockade that continues to deprive innocent civilians of the basic necessities of life. This, whether or not you can want to demonize Hamas or even point out things that they have done that are worthy of demonization, we're talking about an entire location of civilians that are suffering due to this battle of Israel's creation. Even pointing out going to the point where Hamas was ultimately created for this very reason, to use them as a scapegoat by Israel. And the point being that all of these civilians in Gaza are suffering due to this blockade, similar to the blockade we're seeing in Yemen, which I'll touch on more in a moment. But the point being that this blockade is starving these people, depriving them of basic necessities of life that we all think we're just entitled to everywhere else in the world. 2 hours of electricity a day, no basic medications, water that they can barely drink, if at all. But let's forget about that, because these people are all terrorists, as we're told. Now, in regard to the Israeli strike on Gaza, locals told Middle East Eye, as they reported, that one four-story building in central Gaza City that was turned to rubble overnight had apparently housed charitable institutions and research centers. Now, this is the point that I always try to make, that regardless of what actually happened, even if you take Israel at their word and that the Hamas launched rockets at them, why are they then targeting civilian infrastructure? Why are they then targeting civilian communities? Which has been verifiably the case, even by their own admission in the past. This is real. This is them targeting charitable institutions and research centers so they can continue to stifle the growth of Gaza, of Palestinians. That's the point. As we've pointed out countless times on this show, it's about ethnic cleansing, just like we're seeing in Yemen. They despise these people by their own admission. Think about that. Now, more than 200 Palestinians have been killed and at least 10,000 wounded by Israeli forces since the beginning of the Great March of Return on March 30th. 200 have been killed, and only one Israeli soldier has been killed over that entire span. A little bit of perspective for you. Now, of course, Israel says that Syria and Iran are behind the missiles that have been fired on Israel, and that's why they attacked. Of course, just finding a way to lump them into everything that's happening so they can continue to justify their egregious human rights violations and international law breaches of just striking with impunity in Syria, of course, attacking Iran. All of this going back to the ultimate point with all the horrible things that are going on, we fail to recognize that hundreds of thousands of civilians, if not more, around the world are suffering at this very moment at the hands of the very people that the United States completely endorses. And millions more on the threat of death and starvation. That's very relevant in the larger point. But many don't care because it's not happening in the United States. And that's for you to rectify. That's for you to come to terms with if you think that their lives are less important than ours. But let's get into some more domestic, follow up quickly before we get into the synagogue shooting, which I think is directly relevant to the idea that Israel is currently bombing Gaza, while a shooting on a synagogue seems to be taking the attention away from that. Let's do a quick follow-up on the pipe bomb psyop that has now interestingly taken a back seat to the shooting from this morning. That I'll touch on in a moment. But the interesting point is that this was the biggest story and then just gone as they focus on another shooting, which happens. But interesting to note the almost shocking shift that they do from one story to another to keep you and your attention fixated where they want it. This article coming from Zero Hedge this morning, this is the updated title. The original was discussing eight killed and how many injured, but now this is the updated title saying mail bombing suspect arrested. FBI Director Wray says not hoax devices. How interesting. They have to continue to point this out. By the way, these are not fake bombs, even though we've shown numerous times that they were not rigged to go off. Fox has reported this. NBC, CBS reported, yes, these were actually fake. These were not bombs, but maybe they had some potential to be made into bombs, but they were not designed to go off. But he says, no, they're not hoaxes. As I believe we see that their event continuing to crumble, whether it's due to their ineptitude or, you know, just that they're not good at this anymore, or this was the point, it's up to you to decide. Quick couple updates as this story has quickly taken the back seat. We know now that Clapper and Cory Booker, of all people, were apparently also sent bombs, as I think they're trying to make up for the fact that they accidentally had this all happen at the same time from different locations across the country. So now they're following up with a couple of extras that also happened to not explode. Interesting as well, to make it seem like it's this ongoing drama. And we know that the arrested bomber, apparently his name is Caesar Sayoc, was arrested. They show that he had a criminal past, which actually includes a previous bomb threat. Arrested in 2002 after phoning in a bomb threat to the Florida Power and Light, saying that he'll bomb them like 9/11 if they don't do what he wants, or whatever the context was. Which is interesting. Now, I mean, whether this guy was just some MKUltra stooge, which I'm also going to interestingly point out potentially in the synagogue bombing of today. Which is also important to note that it's a very real thing. Demonstrably true in history and past the point where they say it ended. Demonstrably, verifiably. MKUltra is a real thing. People being manipulated mentally is a very real thing. But we just shrugged that off like it's a fake conspiracy theory. Interesting how many things that were once conspiracy theories are now fact. Keep that in mind with this kind of an idea. Just because somebody actually did these things does not mean it was not also a psyop or a false flag. Now, this guy apparently was an aggressive Trump supporter, which also plays right in to this whole thing that they're making, this divide and conquer, make sure you vote for the Democrats kind of idea, or the Republicans in regard to the caravan. This is his van, apparently, with all of these pro-Trump and anti-Democrat, CNN sucks, it's just perfect. Exactly what you would expect, exactly what we all thought was coming. Could that mean he actually meant this and did this? Yes, absolutely. But does that mean that this was not a psyop or a false flag? In my opinion, no, it does not. This person was likely just a stooge. The very clear way that this was set up and the many number of red flags means it's very likely that it was something that was at least coaxed forward, just like we've seen the FBI do countless times with terrorism, exposed, mind you, for coaxing events forward to then jump in and say, ha, we stopped them. But they created it to begin with. So why would we not ask that question here? Logical point, don't you think? But no, that's crazy. How dare you question that the government would do something? They only want what's best for you. Interesting. Now, he called tie into some past false flags, if you will, hoaxes, whatever, coaxed events, FBI created, however you want to look at it. He called child activist and Parkland shooter survivor David Hogg a fake phony, paid by Soros, accused Hogg of never attending the Florida high school attacked by the shooter Nicholas Cruz in February. Now, whatever your thoughts on the Parkland shooting, FBI involvement there is staggeringly obvious as far as I'm concerned, which I wrote on in the past. Nonetheless, this is a hot point that he had said these things, addressed Soros. All of this is really just perfectly lines up with exactly what they're trying to sell. A former employee stated that, quote, he was very angry and angry at the world, at blacks, Jews, and gays. Relevant. He always talked about, quote, if I had complete autonomy, none of these gays or these blacks would survive. He never said he would kill them or murder them or bomb them. He just said, quote, if I had complete autonomy, that they would not survive. He was very, very strange, the employer said. Now, bear this in mind, as I'll reference back to this in a moment, but this very clear tie-in with all of the things that progress their agendas, whether this guy was picked because of this or made to do this, Or it's all completely random. It fits perfectly into their agenda, which they're trying to manipulate your perception, driving you down party lines. And the Jew aspect, talking about how, including the Jews in his point there, is wildly relevant to what's going on today. But I'll come back to that in a moment. A quick side note on this same story. I found it wildly relevant that this article, New York Post Office evacuated as bomber strikes again. Of course, De Niro turns it into a rock the vote moment. You don't say. You don't say that this is used to make people vote. Oh, that sounds familiar. That sounds like something I was just saying. The actor and noted Trump hater, Robert De Niro, of course, has called on people to vote in light of the mailings, the bombings, supposed fake bombings. He said, quote, there's something more powerful than bombs, and that's your vote. People must vote. Really driving that home. Weird how that works out. Even though we've shown repeatedly that the entire voting system is a complete farce in this country. From orchestrated manipulations within the system, from the machines being rigged, from any number of things, gerrymandering and superdelegates and on, the system is rigged against you. Your vote doesn't matter. Despite all of the claims that they tell you, what does matter would be your abstention from voting and making that very public, but that's for you to decide. But it's interesting, as I continue to point out, regardless of what the background information, this is being used to make you vote. Every year they find something to drive that point home. Now, getting to the story from today and remembering the notes of Caesar's comments, this story also coming from Zero Hedge. This story I've not made my mind up on yet, and I want you to do the same. Be open and objective to all possibilities, entitled Screw Your Optics, I'm Going In. Did Trump-hating gunmen warn social media ahead of Pittsburgh attack? Oh, excuse me, I actually made a mistake earlier. I was talking about 8 dead in regard to the new title of the other article. I was referring to this one. My apologies for the... I was thinking of this article. Anyway, this is the article with the new title. The original title was 8 dead and so on. Sorry if I confused any of you. The point being that this story has been updated many times from Zero Hedge. The story originally, as they're claiming 8 people died, I guess it could be as much as 11. Kind of all over the place. But this story is interesting. It's important that we are open and to possibilities that this could just simply be a maniac. But as always, asking the logical question that is this being used against us? Is this being created? Is this some kind of an MK Ultra stooge being sent in to do the very thing that they need at this moment to draw attention away from their botched false flag that everybody can see? To continue all the same things to cover for Israel as they're bombing Gaza? That is a logical question. And anyone that makes you think otherwise is trying to manipulate you. As this country has a very, very clear, demonstrably, verifiably clear history of creating false flags for political reasons. That's fact. Anyone that says otherwise is point blank lying to you. So why we would pretend that this kind of thing with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and all the things they've verifiably done before is not a logical question to ask? I don't know what to tell you. That is you being willfully blind to the reality. Now, whether or not we have enough evidence to show that this is, in fact, an orchestrated event is for you to decide. I haven't made my mind up. But it's a relevant question, and it always is in all of these events, especially when we're in such a politically motivated moment in history. Now, as they point out, what we know so far, as the article shows, at least 8 dead, at least. Gunmen stormed the Tree of Life synagogue, which is for Jewish people, at a corner of Wilkins and Shady Avenue. Shooter was injured and cornered on the third floor of the synagogue. 3 cops have apparently been wounded, and I've seen larger numbers of that since, actually. Apparently none of them are in threat of dying, but you never know. Gunman, preliminarily identified as Robert Bowers, 46-year-old, apparently white male. And he did. This is the point. He shouted, "All Jews must die." And this is reported by the police. Very relevant. Remember what Caesar was saying about how all Jews, blacks, gays, gotta go. I would take care of them myself. Paraphrasing. Now, he's running into a synagogue shouting, "All Jews must die," as Gaza is being bombed by Israel, as those people are continuing to be starved to death, murdered, raped, pillaged, and just completely displaced on a regular basis. Not that that's necessarily connected, but I believe it's very relevant. Now, the real question to ask is whether or not this is being created for this reason. At the very least, not even the question to ask, the point to make is it is being used to drive your attention away. I think very clearly they botched the entire pipe bomb fiasco. It was a shockingly juvenile attempt to manipulate people's perceptions, to counter the idea of the caravan, which I also think is being very clearly orchestrated. Both of them to which to drive us to vote, just like De Niro used to say. Gotta go out there and vote to counter these clear things they're doing against us. It's all very clear. But it's hard to tell whether or not this is being orchestrated for that or it's just being used. But I have some suspicions to this. I think very clearly that this person there's reasons to ask that question, I should say, point blank. And that's justifiable to say. Now, apparently, Trump has come out right off the bat and said, you know, something has to be done. So again, whether or not this is created, they're going to use this to do all the things they've been trying to do. And that's a dangerous scenario. To crack down on people who have views outside the mainstream. Now, this guy was not a Trump supporter, as they're reporting. Again, if you're trusting their reporting, apparently was not a Trump supporter. Which kind of, again, just is counterbalancing on the other act. And this is interesting note to note. Now, this, again, is being used. Now, I would also put out the point that it's interesting to consider the fact that they're trying to sell this as a hoax. And it may not be. But that doesn't mean it's not some kind of an MKUltra stooge that was sent in to carry this out. But the idea that they're trying to hint at certain things, to call, you know, to distract us and to make the alternative media dive on these things fresh off of a very clear false flag, calling it a drill, let's say. The weird oddities of the hospital they're reporting on. They're trying to put these little twinges of things out there for us to go, oh, that's relevant. And maybe it's not. Maybe they're doing this just to get us off the point. Also an interesting thing to consider. Now, there many others. Now, this is something I've pointed out probably four other times in the past. At the end, this is what really stands out to me, is why this shooting? Why now? When you really look at the numbers, there are shootings on a shockingly regular basis around this country. There have been recent shootings in other places of worship in recent months that were basically all but ignored. So why did they focus on this one? And why now? Very genuine questions you should be asking yourself. To distract you from the false flag? To distract you from what's going on in Israel? Distract you from what's going on in Yemen? To force you to vote? Probably all of those things. But again, here are some very interesting things to point out. Here's one from the 23rd. Mass shooting outside Bernstein Church leaves community searching for answers. Touched on blurbs by a couple of mainstream posts, but not the coverage we're seeing today. Why not? Why is this one less important than that one? Ask yourself that. Here's another one, also in Chicago, happens, but a different event. 6 wounded in shooting outside Chicago church following a funeral, of all things. And I could go on and on. Even just from the last couple of weeks, shootings actually in places of worship. There are many more shootings than we would like to realize. A lot of people in this country. You know, it could that be because they're less gruesome? Possibly. Maybe that's it. But what does that say about the mainstream media, that they only cover things that are bloody? If it bleeds, it leads, right? We've heard that before. But the point being that this shooting, as I've said in many in the past, why they're choosing to focus on this one at this time is a very genuine question to be asking. As we've seen other places of worship being shot just like this, maybe less casualties, but some that are not, why are they choosing this one now? Something we should always be asking. And that's not conspiracy theory to ask, based on facts of the past of them lying to us and knowing that they're legally allowed to point blank create fake stories because of the Smith-Modernization Act. They can lie to you for national security. If they feel that, oh my gosh, these alternative media people are doing too much to attack our agenda around the world, let's make a fake story to pull them away for national security. That would be legal in their eyes. Now, final point to this story. A very big difference with a real event, hypothetically speaking, with, let's just say, a real shooting, and a complete psyop false flag like we saw with these previous fake bombings, as I see it, my opinion, is that they're, with these fake events, they are pumping out information, like just by a case-by-case moment, very relevant to people's names, locations, where they're on the scene, CNN's picking things up and photographing, it's all right in your face, moment to moment, to keep you on edge. Yet, when we see things like today, which, again, it may still be a psyop, if you come waiting to see more information, We happen to see things where they say, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't comment. We can't say that. We can't, you know, on and on and on, things we're not allowed to hear. Very relevant point to realize that there's a shocking difference between things that we've seen and proven that were fake and things that are just genuine events where they do not reveal the same kind of information with the same kind of flow. Relevant point. Now, please be objective in this. I think in a lot of ways they want people to jump on this kind of story so closely following such a ridiculous psyop that they carried out. So be objective, ask questions, but be open to the fact that this is indeed something being used, even created, to pull your attention away from so many other things. One point of which, this is an article just coming out of Mint Press News today, which is one that I covered on the 24th, entitled Saudi Arabia Kills Civilians in Yemen with Another U.S.-Made Raytheon Bomb. I believe it's actually Lockheed Martin, but I could be mistaken. But the point, and maybe it was jointly made, but the point being, this is a very big story. One that got national coverage because Jim Carrey made a cartoon about one a few months ago. But this one just gets ignored. So why that one, not this one? Why now instead of then? Why? Why do they continue to pick and choose what to show you? This story is very relevant. But of course, remember that this came out today. This was covered on the 24th by The Last American Vagabond. As I believe, we actually broke the story because Hussein al-Bukhadi reached out to me the moment that it happened and we covered the story. Glad to see it's finally being covered by some alternative media as well, but it's not even getting a peep of coverage, not even a blurb by the mainstream media. That's a shocking thing to realize. And even more so, all this grandiose talk about this attack on a synagogue was an attack on our freedom of religion, as Pence said, our communities and our right to safety. But what about the freedoms of these people? Are they not entitled to the same rights, freedoms, and liberties as any other human being? Are their lives less important because they don't live in the United States? That's a real question. I honestly think people have trouble even answering that question. These people are average people with families and lives just trying to do what they, trying to, just self-determination, just trying to live their lives, find happiness in their war-torn country that the United States is backing 100%. Now, of course, interestingly, the international humanitarian organization Oxfam published a report on October 26 that found that fighting has killed an average of one Yemeni civilian every 3 hours since the beginning of August. Every 3 hours, an innocent civilian, not just a person, not a member of the Houthi rebels, no, an average civilian, every 3 hours since August. Think about that. As we continue to pine over some people being shot, which is sad. Indeed, even newsworthy that 8 people died. And I grieve for their families. And truly, they'll be in my prayers. It's a very sad thing to see, if indeed it is all accurate and true. But even whether or not that's true, whether or not they did die, the point being that we can show very clearly that every 3 hours, one person is dying and no one's talking about it. Every human life is just as real and genuine and legitimate as any other person in the world. And when your tax dollars are helping to create this kind of death, you should be asking that question. Are these people less important? And hopefully the answer is no. At least 575 Yemeni civilians were killed between August 1st and October 15th, including 136 children, 136 innocent children. And a conservative estimate, this is based on data collected by the Civilian Impact Monitoring Project. Tens of thousands more Yemenis have died from preventable diseases, hunger, and malnutrition, which have been greatly exacerbated by the U.S.-Saudi war and the blockade, which is intentionally targeting the Yemenis' food supply. Just reflect on that. Blockades in Gaza, blockades in Yemen, people dying, people's homes being bombed. Again, ask yourself why this story is being so deeply focused on while we've had other shootings weeks ago at other churches. As Caitlin points out in an article from yesterday, which is, you know, about the bomb psyop, which is, you know, this is before the masses were so carefully shifted away from their obviously botched false flag over to one shooting among a number of shootings that likely took place today. While we wait for copious amounts of facts and evidence before forming a solid opinion one way or the other, because that's what everybody's doing, I'm sure, how about a little interest in the people who are being targeted with actual bombs that actually explode by the empire these democratic elites serve. That, in my opinion, is one debate we should always be having. And I greatly agree with Caitlin, usually do, despite many differences we have in from political standpoints. When it comes to anti-war discussion points, she seems to always be right on and calling people out for what they deserve. Moving on to the final story of the day, and another very important thing getting absolutely no attention seems to be the, the potential war that seems to be about to break out between Russia and the United States. Russian diplomat says, yes, Russia is preparing for war. I can confirm it. I can confirm it. So U.S. war hawks have been saying, as they've always been saying, Moscow is preparing for war. Just in case the U.S. starts one, apparently. At a recent meeting, he said the U.S. stated that Russia is preparing for war. Yes, Russia's preparing for war, and I can confirm it, they say. Now, this is coming from U.S. media. Now, interestingly, on the flip side, coming from a more Russia-leaning outlet from South Front, this is titled, U.S. is preparing for war, Russia's preparing to defend itself. Interesting contrast we see, right? The director of Russian Foreign Ministry Department of Non-Proliferation and Arms Control, Andrei Belousov, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, stated that the U.S. is preparing for a war and Russia is ready to defend itself. He commented on the U.S. withdrawal from the INF Treaty by saying that it is a clear sign that the U.S. is, quote, preparing for war, which I don't think is a very hard thing to disregard. I think it's pretty obvious. The question is whether Russia is and whether they're the ones that have started this back and forth. I have my opinion. Hopefully you can see clearly what the reality is. Echoing Putin's comments from last week, he said that Russia is indeed readying itself for war, but only so it can defend its people against American aggression. Russia doesn't seek a confrontation, he said, unlike the U.S. Quote, why else would the United States pull out of the INF Treaty, increase their nuclear potential, adopt a new nuclear doctrine that lowers the threshold for nuclear weapons use, and I might add, continuing to create lower yield nuclear weapons that they could use on a regular basis, which is a horrifying thought that I've reported on many times, goes on to say, that's the question for us all. Belousov's words came after a Russian draft resolution to reinforce the INF treaty, to reinforce the treaty, mind you. This is what the Russians are trying to do, not continue to create more weapons and create more drive, but no, to continue to draft a resolution to keep the treaty, which the U.S. is unilaterally pulling out of. The treaty which bans intermediate-range nuclear weapons. This was overwhelmingly rejected at the U.N.'s first committee. Think about that. They said, quote, most of those who voted against this were supporters of the INF treaty. I don't understand their position, he said. Among those who voted down the draft to keep the resolution, to keep the treaty, were the UK, Germany, France, and of course, the United States. Ask yourself, why would they vote against a treaty that would continue to do what they're all claiming they want? Trump's decision to scrap the Cold War era agreement has alarmed both Europe and Moscow, which warned it would make, quote, make a world a more dangerous place. Of course, you can argue that Russia's lying and that it's all a big, you know, smoke screen because their aggression is continued, but that's in very easily ways not the truth. You can show very clearly they're less spending on their military industrial complex. You can see very clearly the restraint that they've shown. Now, it all could be a smoke screen and maybe I'm missing something and I'm open to that. But the reality is that they are accusing Russia of breaking this treaty, which seems like many people have already demonstrated is not the case, even though we've also clearly demonstrated the U.S. has arguably been violating this treaty for years, and that they want to break this treaty so they can continue to increase weapons against China. All of this considered, Russia's come to the table and said, please, let's keep this treaty. Here's our resolution. And they just all voted away from it. Things that they don't report in the mainstream media, that they all collectively voted, no, we don't want this treaty. It's not about the fact that Russia's violating it, even if they are. It's about allowing themselves to continue to raise escalations, the opposite of what they tell us. Let that register and really reflect on who may actually be the aggressor in all of this. A lot of very frightening things happening in the world today, and it's important that we keep an, you know, open mind with all this stuff. And don't just, you know, blindly take the side of our oligarchy because we're American. It's important that we question the actions of our leaders, as is the foundation of this country, as I understand it. Yet so many people are so willing to just blindly follow their lead. And that alarms me. But ask questions in regard to all of these things, the shootings, the bombings, the false flags. What is it leading towards? What's really happening here? Who's really suffering? The civilians of these countries, absolutely. But what are they trying to get you to look at? What do they tell you is most important? Anything that they put forward, in my eyes, is trying to drive you to a few things, to keep you distracted from the horrible things being committed with your tax dollars, and of course, to use fear-mongering to drive you to the ballot box, like they do every single time. Hopefully you can see that. Hopefully you can begin to ask that question at the very least. Now, to end on a positive note today, because I saw this before I went live, and it was something that I really, you know, it actually struck a note with me, and it's something I've reported on in the past, actually. We've written articles about this on The Last American Vagabond, something that I think we could all use a little bit more of. This entitled, Doctors Explain How Hiking Literally Changes Your Brain. Literally changes your brain. Think about that. How powerful that is, and how few people actually break away from their screens, including me, by the way, to actually get outside and think and reflect and break away from the constant barrage of negativity and aggression and scaremongering and fear porn over and over on loop and repeat all day long. There's chemically, we could point out how cortisol gets produced, the fight or flight mechanism, which is only meant to be temporary. Momentarily temporary to get you pumped up and fearing for your life so that you can evade capture or evade death. However, cortisol, which pumps out in your body when you're feeling that way, stops your immune system, stops your body from going. It actually makes you potentially get sick. That's why it's not meant to be continual. But when you're stressed out, when you're angry, when you're sad, when you're fearful, like they're trying to do constantly, your cortisol never stops dripping, which hurts you. So reflect on that. Now, this story is very important to me. Now, as they say, aside from the almost instant feeling of calm and contentment that accompanies time outdoors, hiking in nature can reduce rumination, overthinking things. We often find ourselves consumed by negative thoughts, which takes us out of the enjoyment of the moment at best and leads us down a path to desperation and anxiety at worst, which is what they want. But a recent study published by the Proceedings in the National Academy of Sciences found that spending time in nature decreases these obsessive negative thoughts by a significant margin. So ask yourself why they're driving us into cities, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, forcing us all into these closed cities, these concrete jungles, where we don't have access to the nature and the trees and the fresh air. Maybe this is part of it. Likely, I would say, as well as many other things that I'm not going to get into at the very end of this show, but I've reported on in the past. But this is important to recognize, that they pointed out hiking, while disconnected from technology, important, boosts creative problem solving. It makes you think better. It makes you critical. Think about the importance of that. Apparently, it also can improve ADHD in children, if you believe ADHD is even a real thing. I personally don't. Not that there's not a potential for hyperactivity, which is real, but the thing that they're making pills for, I think has been proven to be a complete fabrication of these companies. Anyway, can help improve children's attention. Hiking in nature and the exercise you get can literally boost your brain power. This all coming from the study. Now just think about that for a moment and maybe break away from all this today and get outside. Refresh your brain. Find some positivity in the day. And try to remember that there are good people out there doing good things, fighting against the evils of the world, fighting to keep things in a state of positivity going forward, fighting for you. And don't forget that, because it can be very easy to miss that as we get bombarded with all this negativity. So as I take my own advice, I'm going to go outside myself today and break away. So there will not be an R&R today, unfortunately, but I think we should all take this advice today and try to break away from all of this intensive, obsessive coverage of things that are arguably less important than many of the terrible things going on today. But even those terrible things, get outside, break away, meditate, reflect, find your center and come back and help us fight this war against the evils of the world, because we're never going to give up. No matter what happens. But frankly, I start to feel like we're winning in a lot of ways, but that's for you to decide. So thank you for tuning in today. Check out truthclothing.io for a Question Everything t-shirt or a sticker. Help this channel out. Check us out on Patreon.com/The Last American Vagabond or any other way you want to help this channel continue to grow, as we've had some fantastic people helping us in the recent few months. Nice getting messages and, you know, of motivation saying, you know, what you're doing is powerful. Keep at it. And I thank you all for everything. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.